You know, one of the things that we did when we started putting all that together is we were scrambling to find files. We seemed to be missing a bunch of files. And I just want to tell, we just want to say, it's January still, so if you take pictures, send them to Pauline. Send them to Pauline so we can do, we want to do a fantastic, at the end of the next year about this time, we want to give you a really amazing picture of what has gone on throughout the year. There's a lot of good things that were in there. You know, something I was thinking about as I was watching that is that some, most of you know this, I'm assuming, but does anybody not know what all this tape is for on the floor? It's for Awana, but do you know why it's there? It's amazing because from week to week, it's amazing what this, the chairs are gone, the kids are running around, they're screaming, they're doing a bunch of other stuff. The other thing that's fun is because that when, well, you saw some of them with kids in sleeping bags. We had a big slumber party. We're planning to have a big one of those again here coming soon for the young people. And it's a great time. But this place, this space is oftentimes converted into a lot of different things. And it's fun to see that. And so and I noticed that some of the chairs are getting a little stained that we got to kind of fix that up too. But that's the result of having the kids running around and doing things. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. So we want to clean them up, but anyway, we looked at this here, video here, and the pictures that you saw in that video were pictures of children's programs, things like our VBS day camp, our children's Christmas program. I think there was a few pictures of some of the fellowship times we had, fellowship times like campfires, some of the fellowship times we had, or even the improvements that we've made to our building, which we went through a lot of that, you know, the new sign, new name, new gardens, new, buildings back here and the painting and the siding and the, you know, you kind of go through all that stuff. We've kind of been busy with that this last year, but some of those improvements that we made to our facility and stuff. But what you didn't see in those videos were pictures. Well, I guess there were a few of Awana, but we have so many things that are going on at Awana. Awana, though, continues to run about 35 to 40 kids. But you didn't see any pictures of things like our spring outreach where we've reached out into our community. I think that that day in April, it was the day that we had, it was during our rummage sale days, whenever that was. And we gave away a lot of clothing. We gave away a lot of refreshments. I think we cooked hot dogs that day and handed out hot dogs and chips and things like that. Goodies. We had people made some bars and all that kind of stuff. But we had a number of people that came to that event and they're like, why are you doing this? Can we pay something? Should we pay something? Why don't you charge like everybody else is doing? And we, you know, why not charge for all these clothes and stuff? People just kind of came and we got a good result. And I think that's a really neat thing to give something away that's not expected like that. But what you didn't see in those pictures is our Sunday morning Bible studies or our weekly small group that meets in different homes. We haven't quite decided on a name to call that yet, have we? They're meeting on a weekly basis or have been. And so what you didn't see is that. And now I believe, and I have no way of verifying this, to be honest with you, but I believe that our series on the story this last year, I believe that that was very helpful for many of us in helping us grow closer to Jesus. I really do. It's really hard to find, though, a picture for that. It's hard to do that. Would you say that was a good series, anybody? It's a very good series. It's really hard to find a picture, in my opinion, for the growth that takes place when we serve in some small way, like cleaning the church. I don't know if you know this. We've got a group of dedicated people, 4, 5, 6 people who come and they just kind of go through everything. They clean everything up and they do a fantastic job. I'm so appreciative of all of you and you know who you are. Not everyone's here today, but it's hard to find a picture for growth that takes place when we serve in small ways like just someone, we have one or two people that come here on a weekly basis, just prepare the communion, and nobody knows that it's Kevin, you know. So we won't let anybody know, but he likes to do that, and we have several who decorate. We have decorations up, you know. That's just not my gift. I'm sorry. But I appreciate so many people who are able to just kind of put the decorations up and come and do that, and I think they asked me this year, we need a tree, okay, I brought the tree in, that's all I did. You bring the tree in, you put it up, I can set that up, you know. So, I mean, those things kind of happen. I just appreciate those people who can do that. People who are volunteering their times during all these times of improvements, people who just come and they put in their time volunteering for our children's program. Am I missing something, Joe, Dave? we have volunteers that do some things. It's really incredible, and I appreciate it. Now, I know that it seems that we struggle financially from time to time. That's always true. That's true of smaller churches, probably. I don't know. But I want you to know that last year, we paid our bills. Can we give God a praise for that? We paid our bills last year. That's just amazing. And I thank God for those of you and others that who just have been faithful each and every week giving. Now, we're going to be talking about our budget. Let me just give you a synopsis of what we're doing here. The whole idea is, what's going on? What are we going to do this next year? What's happened in the past? What's happening now? What's going to happen this year in 2015? And I want to share that with you. And so I'm giving most of that to you right now. Everything we're going to share at in the meeting, what we typically do, is not because of the Packer game, but typically what we're doing it right here. So we can spend some time eating and fellowshipping, and then we got to pass a budget. I know, it's hard, okay? We're going to be talking about that budget, and then we're going to give you an opportunity to kind of chime in on some things to say, you know what, here's what I dream. Here's what I think would be cool. Could we work on this, or would this be, could you consider looking at this for this year? And we'll do that. And that would be really, really incredible to hear from you, and maybe even to find some involvement from you. But anyway, we're going to be talking about that budget during our meeting. We've made some cuts, by the way, to our budget. But I want to be honest with you, it's still going to be a challenge. But we made some cuts. But I just want to remind you, once again, that we serve a big God. And my prayer is that we will grow in this area of giving this year. I really want you to hear that not as the Lord needs your money. Because frankly, He doesn't. Okay? Frankly, God does not need your money. But what I do want you to hear is, and just kind of chiming in on some of the things that Dave has been talking about, but I want you to hear is that when we give, God blesses. It's just a simple fact. In fact, it's the only command in all of Scripture where God says, test me in this and see what I will do. See, I'm not suggesting that He's going to give you more money, but I am saying that He will bless your life in ways that you may not even be able to imagine. And I think that the reason for that is this, that when we give, we make a statement to God. We are saying to Him, you know what, God, I trust you. Well, here's the reality of it. Everything that we have is truly His. If you are in Christ, everything that we have is truly His. And if it's His, then we're just stewards of that. And we're just sharing, giving back a portion of that, of what it is to Him. And we're just saying, you know what? I trust you. I trust you with what I have. And my prayer is that you and I will be able to just experience more of His blessings this year. All because we trust Him. It's just one more way to do that. It's a great way to learn how to grow up in God. Now, I'm not quite sure how to say this. Maybe I'll say it this way. I think that sometimes the reason that we don't see all of the activity of God is because we are looking for something different than what God is doing. I'll let that sink in just a little bit. I think that the reason why we don't always see all of the activity of God. We got a different plan than He does sometimes. We got a different picture or a different idea of what we'd like to see happen. And when God starts moving, we miss it sometimes. I think that we miss it because we were in a different place. We were thinking something different. And what I'm trying to say is don't miss seeing what God has been doing at New Life this year. Don't think for a moment that God isn't changing our lives and drawing us closer to Himself. How many of you feel closer to God this year? Now, I know this is subjective, but closer to God right now than you did a year ago. I understand that's subjective, but I'm just saying we need to grow, right? We need to grow. Don't think for a moment that God isn't changing lives and He isn't drawing others closer to Himself. And if you don't feel that way, there's a remedy for that. We can talk about that at another time. But I also want to use that also as a springboard for what I really want to say next. And that is that, see, God expects us to be obedient. God expects us to be faithful to Him. And And my prayer for this new year is that we will trust Him more, that we will obey Him more, and that we will be challenged more to grow closer to Jesus Christ, His Son. This place, New Life Christian Church, this is a place where we want people to come to know Jesus. We say that a lot. We say that unapologetically. One of the things that we want to have happen around here more than anything else is that we want everyone to grow up in Jesus Christ. We're not talking about just making a decision, but going beyond that decision and actually experiencing growing up in Christ. That's the plan. I really think if you read the Bible, that's God's intention. He wants you and I to grow up and to look like Jesus. That is the predetermined plan of God, that you and I will look a lot like His Son. And I have some things that I think might help. How do we get to looking more like His Son? Let me just set the stage once again by looking at another story. And this one's in Joshua chapter 3. I hope that some of you may remember this from the time when we went through the story. Some of you may not be familiar with this, and that's okay. But the setting of this story is in the book of Joshua is that Moses has died. He has died along with that first generation of Israelites that came out of Egypt. We remember the 10 plagues and the Exodus out of Egypt. Remember the story of the 10 commandments for, if we don't remember that, you know, the Charlton Heston movie and how they moved out. And well, they're at the edge of the Sinai desert and they're waiting to go into the old land. And that first generation didn't get to enter into the promised land that God had promised them. And they're ready to cross over into the land that God promised them. They're standing right there, and Joshua gives them these instructions. Now, this is where we come in. He says, when you see the Ark of the Covenant, the Lord your God, and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the ark, do not go near it. The ark was that big piece of furniture that they carried on poles that was to be, it was seen as being the very presence of God. And inside that were the stone tablets that was the covenant between God and His people, the Ten Commandments. There was Aaron's budding rod and all that kind of stuff. And it was always put in the, once they built the tabernacle or put it back together, they would put that ark in the tabernacle. And it was mercy seat was there. It was the very presence of God. Joshua says to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. And so they took it up and they went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, don't miss this, go and stand in the river. Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you and that He will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. And so when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went on ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during the harvest, yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap in a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of the Zarethan, where the water flowing down to the Sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. And the priests came up out of the river carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. No sooner had they set their foot on dry ground than the waters of... Oh, I went and got ahead of myself. The thing that's interesting is that this is actually chapter 4. The thing that's interesting, what happens after chapter in 13 is that these priests are still in the middle of the river. They're just standing there. And so what happens is those 12 men, you know what happens to them? They went out and they had to each pick up, while this priest are standing there with the Ark of the Covenant, had to go and pick up a stone, and they brought it back. And, well, what was that for? What were those stones back? They built this little monument, this little remembrance, this little place. And it says that the priest came out of the river carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. No sooner had they set their foot on the dry ground than the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and ran at flood stages before. See, what's happening is these guys are still in there. The guys come and grab the rocks. They set up this little thing, and then the priests with the ark walk out. And as soon as they step up, the waters come back. Okay? It's really a remarkable thing. And then looking at what these stones are, or what this whole occasion is for, verse number 24 of chapter 4 says this: God did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. It's just an incredible story. It's one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament, and here's why. Here's what I really want you to see in that whole story there. You see, when the Israelites crossed the Jordan, I don't know if you caught this or not, the waters did not recede until their feet touched the water. Anybody ever seen Indiana Jones? The one where they're searching for the Holy Grail. They see that there's this, they need to get across. And what did they do? They went like this. He goes, well, here's a leap of faith. And he went like that. And then there's this, it looked almost invisible, but there was this pathway. That's exactly what's happening right here. They had to touch the water. That's faith. Get the picture of this. This is that flood stage. This is deep water. This is raging water. I mean, almost seems foolish, doesn't it? The water is just cruising, and they just, as soon as they touch, that's when God did that. Can God do that? How do we know that? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, right? If He can create all the heavens and the earth, can He do something like that with the waters? So, what I'm saying is that what I want you to see, and I don't want you to miss this, who moved first? Who worked it first? God was waiting for the people of Israel to show their trust in Him. They made the first move, right? He was waiting for them. You know what? I'm going to trust God. I'm going to go into the water. And as soon as they touch that, the water. It's an amazing picture. It's just, and the reality is this, is that God still thinks that way. He still works that way today. All they needed to do is just trust God and take the first step. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm just being honest with you. It would be hard enough to stop before walking into a little puddle. I hate to get my feet wet in puddles. I hate the mud in the spring. I love spring, but I'm always, you know, stepping around all that stuff, and I don't want to. It's hard enough to do that, let alone a raging river. But that is what God commanded them to do. And that is the way that He works today. If we want to see Him, here's the point. If we want to see Him work in powerful ways, see, I think that God can give us some things just because He loves us. But I don't know that He's going to show us everything and work in even more powerful ways unless we're fully committed. I can't picture anything more fully committed than walking into that river and expecting it to be dry ground. Plus, you're carrying a heavy ark. Now, the other side of that is if that tips and you touch it, you're dead. That happened, right? You can't touch the ark. But can you imagine that scene? I think if we want God to work in powerful ways, He wants to know if we're fully committed. We have to make the first move. We, simply put, we have to trust Him. So here's what we want to challenge ourselves with for the rest of 2015. Here's what we're going to be focusing on. Some of this, the titling here, you've seen this before. Back in October, we brought these things up. But the first thing that I want you to see here is that we want to focus on, first of all, developing spiritual intimacy with Christ. All that means is really is this, is we want to get to know Jesus better. This in 2015, then we knew him better in 2014. We want to draw closer to him. We want to just scoot a little closer to him. That in reality is what we're all about. If you remember back when we talked about our purpose to know Christ and to make him known, that's what we're about, is just getting to know Jesus and experiencing every day the kind of life change that he wants to create in us. And so we simply want to give you opportunities to just step out in faith and just to test God and to see how he might bless your life if you trust him. But just let me highlight a few things that we're going to be looking at. And these are going to be on a bulletin points later on at the meeting. Here it is. If you're not already reading your Bible regularly, we want to encourage you. We want to always encourage you just to be checking out God's Word. If you're not already doing that, we've got some Bible programs back there. I already told you last week, you don't have to. I realize it's January 18th today. Gosh, I missed it. I got to wait another year. No, you don't. Start and don't worry about the dates. Just check it off as you go and read through it and, you know, try to stay with it every day. And, you know, just if you're not doing that already, we're encouraging you to get in God's Word daily. It's a step of faith for some of us. Some of you already are. Maybe you want to increase that. I don't know. Maybe you don't. But I'm encouraging you. I am challenging you to test God in this and try that. Test him and get into his word daily, just a small amount, and let it change you to be more like him. See what God will do if you start to listen to what he says in his word. Or maybe the challenge for you is simply attending our adult Sunday school. Or our Sunday school program. We got the youth are doing a Sunday school program. They're actually going through the story again, because the kids really love that, and maybe that's what it is. Maybe just try that out and check that out and see if that maybe try it for a month. Try it for 4 weeks in a row and see if God doesn't really encourage you, strengthen you, help you to grow through that. Starting in February, by the way, we're doing some. We're going to do a couple of different series. The name of this, titling it, is Share Your Story. And we're going to look at how we want to share our faith with others, and I think that it's going to be good. And I'll tell you what, I can tell you this right now. Maybe it's not going to be what you think. Because I was telling other people that I think that there are some misconceptions of what it means to share your faith. And I'm a little uncomfortable with some of the ways. We'll talk about that. Anyway, hopefully that'll get you interested. But after that, we're going to be doing a series on, it's called How to Become a Welcoming Church. And this has been for a long time. But that's starting up probably March. That area. Some have asked how to be better greeters, how to be more hospitable to the people that God sends our way. And I just hope you will think seriously if you're interested in that. It's not just for greeters. It's for all of us to be a welcoming church. And so hope you think seriously about attending that. Prayer. Prayer. You've heard me say this. Prayer is God's powerhouse. So this is what I'm excited about. This is what I want to tell you, Pat. I'm sorry I got ahead of you. This is what I'm really excited about. In addition to our weekly prayer meetings, we want to offer once a month what we're going to call Concert of Prayer. It's just a time where we can come to worship once a month, be led in prayer, and ask God for some specific things. The leaders are going to be praying about this. Dave and Joe, if you have some specific things, man, my heart is really drawn to this. We want your input. We want you to be able to share some things. Just say, you know what? God has laid it on my heart that we'd be praying for certain things. And we want us to pray specifically, spend some time worshiping God in music and other ways, but just to bring those things before God. So we want to start that. Now, the second thing that we want to focus on is authentic community with believers. I want you to notice that word authentic there. But this is just really one of the reasons why we have things like fellowship dinners, campfires, and all those, you know, all the things that we offer, that we try to do. But we want to offer something specific for our men, for our women, for our young people. For our men, beginning in March, we're going to be calling this Iron Workers. It comes from Proverbs 27, verse 17, which says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And what it's going to be is it's going to be a monthly men's breakfast fellowship. And we're going to begin by looking at a book. called The Man in the Mirror. It will challenge you, I think. Each chapter is about 10 to 15 pages. You got a whole month to read it. Come, we're going to have some breakfast. We're going to just talk about that together and grow together. And I think it will be a lot of fun. And we also have something for the women as well. Once a month, Susan is going to be doing a Bible study, a women's study, what we're calling Women of the Word. So if you're interested, please talk with Susan and say, you know what, I might look at that. And then she can maybe get with you and try to find a day or a time that that might work out. But Women of the Word, something else that we've been committed to, we had this suggestion last time we met about, gosh, can we have some things for our kids and some activities, and not just the fun things, but, well, it's fun to read Scripture too, but some other things, some learning things, some Bible things too. But we're starting off actually next Sunday or next Saturday, the bowling thing. So that's coming up. In fact, if some of you guys want to come over, there may be some room. If some of the Iwana kids don't show up, there may be some room for adults to go and start bowling as well. I don't know. But also, we wanted to be able to offer something once a month like that. The third area, we're almost done here, is compassionate influence with seekers. Compassionate influence with seekers. Now, simply put, here's what I'm trying to say, is we simply want to grow in our area of evangelism, of sharing our story, of getting excited about what God is doing. And that's what our upcoming study is really all about. How do we do that? How do we introduce Jesus to others so that they can experience life change? All those three things, those are the areas that we're going to be focusing on, and we simply want to just challenge you to take a step, even if it's just a small step, to get involved if you're not already. And I guess I'm not asking you to get involved in everything. I mean, you certainly can. But what I'm really asking you to do is to trust God, to just move a little closer to Him, to imagine what God could do if we made ourselves available to Him for His kingdom's sake. See, I believe that if we all were to take that step together, that He will bless us this year in ways that we just cannot imagine. So I'm inviting you to say, you know, let's do this together. So are you in it for that? Will you try? Encourage others? We have some others. And when they come back from whatever they're vacationing and stuff, encourage them. Let's encourage one another to take that step together. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for a new year, a chance and an opportunity to start over, just to begin to see things anew, and I thank you for opportunities this year. I pray that you bless this year. I pray that you give us the boldness, the endurance, the strength, the desire that you would compel us. Compel us, Lord, to draw closer to you. I pray this in Jesus' name.